greetings to all who have come to worship. Also, welcome those who are worshiping from home to live stream. How are you this morning? Are you content to come and worship the Lord? Are you happy? I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And somebody has texted me, what time is your worship? Somebody texted me. I want to hear the word of God. And he's looking forward to worship with us last night. And I received Miss Yoon's call. Would to come and worship. What time is your worship tomorrow? And she asked me. And I rejoiced. And now we know that Yoon and her husband is here with us worshiping. And so they want to bring their son and daughter to come. And when we hear to want someone to come and worship, I'm rejoicing. And also Ricky also wanted to come. And when we rejoice, see the meaning and the value of our worship. And if somebody wants to be of one heart with us in our worship, that is a joy that we will rejoice. And when we have that joy, we praise the Lord. I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Here's a story about the boss in a big company needing to call one of his employees about an urgent problem with one of the big computers. He dialed the employee's home telephone number and was greeted with a child's whisper. Hello? The boss asked, is your daddy home? Yes, whispered the small voice. May I talk with him? The man asked. To the boss's surprise, the small voice whispered, oh. The boss persisted, is your mommy there? Yes, came the answer. May I talk with her? Again, the small voice whispered, no. Well, is there someone else I might talk to? The boss asked the child. Yes, whispered the child. A policeman. Well then, may I speak to the policeman? No, whispered the child. He is busy. Busy doing what? Asked the boss. Talking to daddy and mommy and the fireman, came the whisper answer. Now the boss was growing concerned, and just then he heard what sounded like a helicopter to the earpiece of the phone. And the boss asked, what is that noise? A helicopter, answered the whispering voice. A helicopter. Alarmed, the boss nearby nearly shouted, what is going on there? In an awe whispering voice, the child answered, the search team just landed the helicopter. Why are they there? There was a muffled giggle as the child said, they are looking for me. He said, through a whisper and a giggle, they are looking for me. Dear congregation, this child has tried to hide from their parents, and the policemen and the firemen, the helicopter will all come down to search for this child. And while he was hiding somewhere on the telephone, many Christians right now like to play hide and seek with God. Every week, the Lord expresses His love to find these Christians, but many Christians will try to hide. They didn't want to come and worship. This must have a sweet relationship with the Lord. And today, we will think about a vision of a wonderful worship that David has expressed through Psalm 63 that we have read. There are three aspects that we will see about our worship. First is to enter into the hallway of the temple. Second is come into the holy place. And third, to come into the most holy place. Let's pray for that. Dear our loving Father in heaven, the one who has saved us from sin and has a perfect plan for each one of us, we thank you, Lord, because your word will cleanse our soul to be clean for you and purified for you, and that our life will be valuable for you. When you understand what you have done for us, if we understand the word for us. And this morning, may the Holy Spirit teach us and lead us into this holy temple so that our worship always is a fragrance pleasing to you. Lead us and put your words on my mouth so that these words will encourage my brother and sister with a worship spirit that you have given us the opportunity. We lift everything into your hand, into your leadership. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are thank you because during this pandemic, there are many places will be locked down, even in Vietnam, in Australia. Many places are experiencing lockdown, even in the worship. But give thanks to the Lord. Right here, your church, our church, have the ability, the freedom to worship. This is a privilege. Do we see a privilege when we come into the house of the Lord? We have been in favor with the Lord. David see that the worship the Lord is something of a blessing. And we think about the image of the temple in the Old Testament that Israel needs to worship with the words of David has a vision from the Lord to see the meaning of worship so that we give thanks to the Lord now that we have this privilege to worship in this sanctuary. A few of the Christians in Afghanistan is facing a persecution by the Taliban. The Taliban is seeking them out to persecute them and destroy them. And this is a chaotic situation of the Christian putting faith. Also, those who are giving their life for service is facing a very difficult situation. A few other countries like China, Ethiopia, many Christians also are facing trouble. And all the churches is being attacked and being destroyed. If we do not feel that we have a privilege and we are unthankful people about that, when we come into the sanctuary of the Lord, and each one of us, as the scripture that we have read, we will think about our privilege of worship. First is to come into the hallway of the temple. In verse 1, David said, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you, like the parched land needing the water. And today we come into the sanctuary and everybody is in the presence of the Lord. But to have this, the Lord must pay a price for us. In the old day when Israel came into the worship in the temple, there are many obstacles, not like us. In the Old Testament, if God wants to call Israel from the wilderness to come to worship, then they have to stay away. Nobody can approach the Lord. Whoever approach will be killed. Only the priest that allowed to come then come closer. So that means up on Mount Sinai. But even those elders, those priests, has to keep a separation that only Moses can come toward the Lord on Mount Sinai. The same worship, but there is inhibition when people, the human mind, couldn't come close to the Lord. When the Israel has a temper to worship the Lord, then there are also separations. There are regulations, the order of worship, of where they have to sit or stand against the temple. Inside the temple, there are the holy place and the most holy. And from the holy, between them is a separation by a curtain that nobody can come into that holy place. All the people of Israel have to stay outside of the temple in the hallways. And the order of the most, in the most, is all those who are allowed to approach the temple to service as priests. They allow to, the people sit outside the hallway, and outside, and those places are for the men, and after the men were the place for the women, and out the most, the hallway is for the Gentiles to come and worship. And between the hallway for the Gentile, there's a wall in between that, and up then, only the Gentile crosses. Trespasses this world can be executed. Though they have the heart to worship as a Gentile, there is a separation wall in between. So, and in the place of the Gentile has been used as a place to, as a marketplace to sell the kitchens and land so that they can come and buy there and sacrifice right there. It's a convenience. So it was like a market. A very chaotic and noisy out there. And that let us know that a Gentile who can come and worship the Lord is not easy. But praise the Lord. Today, you and I are Gentile. We have no citizen in the kingdom of God, but God has allowed us to become the same, to come into the presence of the Lord. Jesus has come not to destroy the wall of the Gentiles, but so that everybody can come into the temple. But Jesus has also destroyed the curtain that separated the most holy from the holy place to Christ's death on the cross. And that means everybody can come close to God. Praise be to God because of Jesus Christ that we can come close to God and worship the Lord in His temple. Jesus Christ has brought God, has come brought closer to us. You have to call God the Father. You see, this is a privilege. Maybe we pray, "Our Father in heaven." You see, that's something very natural to call God Father. But with the Israel in the Old Testament, there is no one can call God Father. No one. Only when Jesus came that He brought God close to our world and pray like this. Our Father in heaven. And if Jesus would not allow us, you and I, maybe we could not pray our Father to our heaven. We'll never be always separated from the Lord. So as Gentiles, we come into the temple of the Lord to worship the Lord. And our worship, how should it be? Praise the Lord. Today, we will no longer be Gentiles. We become the one close to God. We are the household of the Lord. The same with the Israelite people. Praise the Lord for that. But Jesus has explained in John chapter 4 when Someone asked, in summary, where is the place for us to worship? And they worship in the church as well, or prayers must come to, worship must come to the temple. And Jesus said, the time is not here or there. God is not concerned the place of worship, yet a time He is concerned with our heart. And that Jesus said, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipper worship in Father, in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And the Lord lives with us in our spirit and truth. And last week I told you, spirit is our heart. And truth is the word of God. Whoever can only have a heart but not based on truth, that person is like a fanatic, doesn't know what he is worshiping, believe but doesn't know what he believes. But if a person has the truth but has no heart to worship the truth, then that person is of unbelief. So these two necessary part is spirit and truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Paul wrote like this: for himself is our peace. He has made two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. This is the Lord has done on the body of Jesus Christ. And when we come here, we become one new humanity before the Lord. Today in our worship, you and I would no longer be separated in our worship. However, there are many who try to play hide and seek with God. Many of us still would not be a wholeheartedly worship, would not recognize that worship the Lord each Sunday is a special privilege we receive from God. David has said this: my soul thirsts for you. My whole being longs for you. Come into the worship in Israel in the Old Testament is a regulation, an obligation. Whoever over the years of mourning and in the feast can come into the temple. Maybe it's an obligation rather than a true worship. In the festival. Today, our worship is not an obligation no more. It is a feel of thankfulness what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And David said, I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. The worship of the Lord is not just for our body to come physically, but it must be from our heart, from our spirit. David recognized this worship that is something a need, not an obligation. You and I come here, do we feel that it is a need of our spiritual need? And many of us become a burden because that is an obligation. And if we only see that old obligation when we come here, then our worship has no value for them. God loves those worshipers in heart, in spirit. And David said, not only do I have thirst in my soul, but also I want to, whole being longs for you. David said, when you and I come into the worship, we are receiving God, the presence of God. David felt the need, his need, his true need on him. David said, I am like the parched land has no water. And when David wrote this psalm, and that is the time when his son Absalom is rebelled against him and seeking him, and he let a few officials left his throne there and ran away with a few of his officials. And during this time of hiding, he wrote this and he said, "Dear Lord, I am like a parched land where there is no water." A parched land without water. Can you plant something on it? Absolutely not. A parched land has no value for growing plants. So that David said, when a person could not come into the worship of the Lord, and that land is just like a parched land, there is no water, meaning there is no value for the Lord. So then, the part that we come into the hallway to worship the Lord requires a longing from our heart. Do you long for the Lord? How do you express that longing? How? A few of us that come, it's okay to come. It's not, it's okay not to come. Very indifferent. And some come into so late, almost the end of worship. It doesn't, it shows us that, those people do not show the longing for the Lord. When we come to the worship, God even our heart must long for the Lord. David recognizes that if his life could not worship the Lord, then it's just like a parched land with no water, no value for the Lord. May the Lord allow us to come to worship with a longing heart for that. And another psalm in 42. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. When a deer has given birth to his fawn, water is necessary because it's a need of that deer, of the mother, because the body of that deer is needing water to come to the stream of water and drink that water. Though there may be lion there, someone who can kill that deer, but because the thirst of that deer caused the deer to come to the stream, longing for the water after giving birth to his fawn. And the Israel has been in exile. During that exile, the descending of Korah, remember the time when they came into the temple. They remember those times. No, in exile, they could not have a temple to worship. And he said, and so my soul thirsts for God. And they were asking, where is your God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? They remember the time they can worship the Lord in the temple when they were exiled to Babylon. The longing for our worship, is it like the deer panting for a stream of water? It's like the heart of the people who in exile remembering the time they worship in the temple. How many of us is truly felt heartfelt when we don't have the time to worship, when we don't have time to study the Word of God, when we don't have time to pray in the term. During the pandemic, I have seen a few Christians, oh dear pastor, I remember our church so much, I miss the church. And now, from July last year, more than a year, we have come into the sanctuary for more than a year. But those who said to me, I miss the church, where are they now? Were they having any longing to worship, or only just lips on their lips as a lip service? So the first thing that David encouraged you and me is that when we come into the temple of the Lord to worship the Lord, come with a longing heart. We come not because of habit, not because of traditional activities here. We not come here because we are a Christian, so we come. We have to come. No, we come with a longing heart. so that we can be filled with the word of God, with the presence of God, to hear the voice of the Lord speak to us, teach us, come into the temple of the Lord with our longing for all my soul and body is longing for the Lord. The second part, David wants us to come closer, that is from the hallway into the holy place. The holy place is inside the temple. And there's a place where all the priests, the ones who are allowed to come to serve the Lord, that the regular people cannot come into. When the temporary is a tent, the Levites can only come into the temple to serve the Lord. They are being separated as a tribe to serve the Lord. The Levites, only the Levites, can come into the temple when they were in the wilderness. And when they come into, any regular people come into the holy place, will be executed. And only the Levites can come into the holy place to serve the Lord. And in the holy place, in the temple, there are only three things. One is the lamb with the seven lampstands. And God said that the lampstand must be always have be lighted. So the Levite, the priest, must take care of the lamb and the oil to maintain the lamb for the Lord. In the other side is a table for the presence of bread, and only eaten by the priest. They can offer the power to make bread, and only the bread of the presence is put on the table. And closest before there is a altar for the incense, and each day they have to bring offering. In the morning and the evening, they bring offering, and they have to burn incense on the altar. And there are 20,000 participate in serving the temple like that, and they divided different orders, and each group is 1,000 people. And on the day that they are allowed to come, no burning the lamb, putting the oil, or take care of the bread, then maybe one time in their life they could do that. It is difficult to have the second chance to do that, to come into that holy place. And many priests, many Levites has never could draw a lot to come like that. So that to come into the holy place to serve the Lord is an honor of the priest at that time. That honor that everybody longs to do that, hoping that it is my turn to come this time. And if I can burn the incense, that even more honoring to do that. In Luke chapter 1, talk about a Levite named Zechariah. And this priest is of old age, and his wife is Elizabeth, which is the cousin of Mary. And they were very old and without a son. But one day, when Zechary was his turn to put the answer, he was so happy. Only one time in his life he could do that. And during that time, and the angel appeared, told Zechariah, "This the Lord has mercy on you." Because they have no son, then God has mercy and see him with favor and will give you a son this time next year. This is Zachary could not imagine. He could not imagine this could happen. So it's like, how could I believe that this will happen to me and to my wife? This is something God, because you do not believe, you cannot talk. He will be muted. He will be muted. And when after coming into the temple and burn the incense, the hell will come outside where the men and women to talk to them. But now, because he was muted, he could not say anything to the people outside of the temple. A year later, and God made Elizabeth to be conceived of a name, John, the son named John, John the Baptist, the one who, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is the last prophet of God with the world, expressed the kingdom of God to the people at that time. John the Baptist was praised in all of the women. Nobody is more blessed than Elizabeth. And this is the praise from Jesus. But if when someone comes into the presence of God, and the, even the smallest is more important than John the Baptist, more valuable than John the Baptist, the smallest of the kingdom of God, the congregation. We see that the longing that one out us to have to come into his worship is very, very important. Here, David said, talk about this. During this time, David is not the one who comes to the temple, the holies. The temple has not been built yet because that was Solomon's job. But David said, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. David has a vision and thought in his heart, the place of a holy in the temple is of someone to beheld the power and the glory of God. He has not yet a temple, but this is his vision. We today are entering into the holy. We feel that we wish that we can see the power and the glory of God. Zechariah came into the holy place to serve the Lord, and he saw the power when angel told him that this time next year Elizabeth will conceive a son and will give birth to a son. He didn't believe. He was muted. But God continued to give them a son according to promise. And the day they named this young son, they said, must give him Zechariah, just like the father's name. But that is tradition. And the Elizabeth said, no, his must be John. His name must be John. But no, 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 you can't do that. This is not in the... must be Zechariah. This is our tradition. And so somebody gave him a tablet too. What do you name this son? And Zechariah wrote John on that tablet. Why? Because that is the name God wanted Zechariah to give. When we put the name there, must name John. And they kept what God has commanded to them. Zechariah and Elizabeth. After he named John, and Zachary was unmuted and was able to speak. An unbelief can have received the full blessing of God when we come into the holy place to see the Lord. This is an honor place. During the time in Jesus, there are many who experience the power of God when they have the opportunity to come close to Jesus. A woman who has problem with her blood flow, then many physicians could not heal her. She spends all of her fortune on it. But one day when God crossed where she was staying, she heard about Jesus. If I could only touch the hem of Jesus, then I will be healed. And she was hiding the crowd. She came close to Jesus. She touched the hem of the robe of Jesus. And immediately her sickness is healed. There is a power flowing from Jesus. flow onto her and heal her. The power of the Lord is always there when we come into the holy place to see the Lord. A Canaan woman has a daughter who has demon possessed said, please have mercy on my daughter. She is in Canaanite. There's no way the gospel was teaching there yet. She's a Gentile. But during the time Jesus, when she approached Jesus, she came, dear Lord, please heal my daughter. Jesus said, the mother just threw him away, but she continued to call her. Can Jesus said, should I give the bread to the rod to the dog? Should I give the crumb to the dog? But she understands that the dog needs to discredit the Gentile, to despise, to lower the value of somebody else. But Jesus said, you are a puppy. That is someone who loved this little puppy. She understood the love of Jesus. Dear Jesus, the dog does not eat the food on the table, but receive the crumb. I only need those crumbs. Jesus was surprised of her faith, and at that time, her daughter was healed. Come being close to God is a privilege. And when we come in the longing spirit like that, when Jairus has a daughter almost dead, and he looked for Jesus, because now the daughter has said, no, do not bother Jesus, your daughter is dead. But Jesus said, go return. Your daughter is just sleeping. Everybody was laughing at that, but Jairus believed. And when he came into the house, Jesus came into Jairus' house. Jesus does not want the unbelief to be surrounded. Only Jairus, his wife, the one who put faith in Jesus, and Jesus took the girl, get up, and the daughter get up and resurrected. And she gave back the daughter to his father. We see the value of the belief when we come into the presence of God. A Roman officer in Capernaum has a servant girl who was sick, who was demon possessed. And then this officer wanted Jesus to heal. So, he's a Gentile, he could not approach Jesus. He asked somebody, please Jesus, heal my servant girl. Jesus said, I will come. She said, no, you don't have to come. Because I am a Gentile, not worthy to welcome you in my house. Only say a word, then my servant will be healed. That kind of faith is very special. He does not know Jesus before that. He knew that Jesus has a power because he has the authority. He said, there are above that give me command, but below me there are certain ones that obey my command. If I say to my command, go, then he will go. If I tell my servant to come, then he will come. So that the authority, Jesus, you have the authority. Only say one word and my servant girl will be healed. There is no such officer with that kind of faith to come into the holy place. Is a longing that God wants each one of us to have. God has torn the wall outside the temple so we can come into the holy place to minister. And we today are the ones who receive that kind of a mercy, that one of a grace. But many disregard this privilege and not worship the Lord. They do not feel this is something valuable, something of an honor, something of a privilege. We can only see that value when we come close to God in this holy place, when we think about the value that God had paid the price for. If the price has not been paid by the blood of Christ, we could not come close to God in the worship. like what we have today. This is an honor, this is a privilege that God wants us to think about and examine. This is not something we like to do, not something we want to do, but it is a privilege to regard it with all of our hearts. The third point that David encouraged you and me is to enter into the most holy place. Outside the temple is the holy place, and the inner of the temple is called the most holy. Between them, there is a curtain, and in the curtain, there are some broidery, very beautiful on the bread. In the most holy, there is only one thing, that is the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant has three items. First, the Ten Commandments, the tablet that Moses, the second time Moses received that. The first time, the tablet was broken when he threw down on the Mount Sinai because the people were worshiping the idol. And then the teaching of Aaron, the testament of Aaron, and the, is a container of manna. The manna is the bread from heaven that was rained down from heaven to the people in the wilderness. Every day they collect the manna. Only day by day they could not save it. Could not save it because the next day only saved manna will become bad and has some be destroyed. So each day they have to collect the manna on that particular day. And that's something of a miracle God has performed for his people. And the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God during the time that he is with his people. God does not live in the temple built by man's hand, but the Ark of Covenant represents the presence of God among the people. And so that the Ark of Covenant is in the most holy place. And there are certain regulations that the priest must carry. There must be a way to carry the way. And there are some scrolls to carry. There is very strict law concerning carrying the Ark of the Covenant. How it could be moved from place to place. When they came, the Ark must be among. And then they will camp around the Ark of the Covenant. In the most holy place of the priest, nobody could come, could not see this Ark of the Covenant. The Bible said only the chief priest must be the chief of all the priests, can come once a year, can come into the most holy place one time a year. But the chief priest. And in the Day of the Atonement in Leviticus 6, the people must dedicate two lambs and one ox. And one of the lamb will be set free to say that the sin has carried by this lamb. And because there's one who being offered and killed. Between one will be set free, one will be killed as a sacrifice. That expresses the love of God for us. He came to pay for the price of our sin. And these images has been represented by the two lambs. And each atonement day, they have to offer the oxen and the use of blood of the oxen. Come in the most holy and sprinkle on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And before the Ark also sprinkle the blood. Only that action to make an atonement for the sins of the people. Once a year, after that. And the offering of that lamb and kill and also the blood of that lamb must be sprinkled on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And all of that, let us see that the position of the most holy is in the most glorious place. That everybody, nobody can see, can look. And the glory of the Lord is because the presence of God. Praise the Lord. When God gives his last breath, then the curtain has been torn in half from top to bottom. Who tore that curtain? God did that. Nobody tore that curtain. God himself has destroyed the separation because of the death of his son on the cross. And because of that, the people can see what is inside the most holy. And because of that, you and I from the outside of the temple can come into the holy place and come into the most holy place. The place of the presence of God. We know that we are given this sanctuary. We commemorate 2 years of having this place. God is not here, but he places his name in the sanctuary. And because this is the place that expresses presence, we come to worship because here is the place, the expression of the presence of God. We need others to come because this is the place that show the presence of God. Give thanks to God when we come here that have the presence of God like this. It's not because of us, because Jesus has destroyed this curtain. The scripture says we have a hope just like we can come into the presence of the Lord like an anchor for the soul. Firm and secure. We enter into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in order of Melchizedek. He is also both the priest and the sacrificial lamb. He died for us because we have the hope to come into this most holy place to see the Lord. David Toas said that in the place that he will, when they came into the holy place, he saw the Ark of the Covenant represent the presence of God there. But the verse 3 said, because your love is better than life. In this most holy, the children of God see the love of Lord. The Lord that represents the presence is only the presence, but God is loving each one of us. He expresses his love for us in this place. Not only the presence, not just be there with his, but he has come to express his love for us to those who need him. And David felt the presence of the Lord, but also a symbol of love for him. Why David could feel this love of the Lord? In Romans chapter 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. And that is, while we were yet sinners, represent what? It represents that everybody, we all been sinners, worthy of death. But there is something that has brought us from the place of darkness, and that is the life of Jesus Christ. In other words, our life of this Christian is the life of Christ. It's not a natural life anymore. It's the life of Christ inside of us, inside of us Christian. And when we receive that life, is related to the everlasting life. And in you and me, we have the life of Christ that in the everlasting we will also receive. Or you and I just come here, can we may not inherit the everlasting life Christ promised? David felt that love. He said, oh, I want to pray about your life in my lips. Why? David then received God's love, and he felt that love. So he said, my lips will glorify you. Because of love of Christ, make us praise the Lord. Praising the Lord. is an expression of all of the Christians, but not just only the lips, only the song that we sing each Sunday, but we will praise the Lord by our lifestyle, the attitude of our life. Whoever used the life to praise the Lord, that person is in the place of the most holy. Whoever is using the life to praise the Lord, that person is in the most holy of the place of the Lord. Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. Your life must be shined before men for what? So that people can see the good works of the Lord and praise the Father in heaven. The purpose of saving is like that. You and I are being placed in this world to become the light of the world so that others can recognize the good work. Through what? Through the way we live. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. So, praising God, not just because of our lips, not just a joy expressed through our praising of songs, but express it throughout our life when we go to work, go to school, when we have a relationship in our emotion, our witnessing, in all aspects, whether we are at home or we come to the temple of the Lord or in the place of work. That place must be alive that glorifies God. David is rejoicing when they say, I rejoice when people say, let's go to the house of the Lord. I hope that many of us has that kind of joy. If someone of our friend express today, I want to come to worship, may we have that kind of joy. The congregation. I want to conclude with a story. Edward the VIII of England, after receiving the throne after 325 days, and he abdicated his throne to George the VI. And on the 10th December 1936, and he officially abdicated his throne for George the VI. The reason is because Edward fell in love with an American woman, and that person has divorced twice. And according to the law of England, a king could not marry a wife that has a bad history like that. It's not balanced already, and yet the history of this woman has two divorces, and then the royal of England could not, because he loved her so much. And Edward told everyone, a few hours before, I have abdicated my responsibility as King of England. Maybe you know the reason why I have abdicated my throne. Please, everyone, believe me that I could not fulfill my responsibility that you have given me if I could not encourage the one that who loved me, that I love her, Edward the VIII, want to be in exile so that he can be with his wife in France. And he also got a title, a lesser title, the title Count Windsor. And he passed away in 1972. He was 78 years old. And they took his body and buried in the castle of Windsor. When we think about this kind of love, Edward is a true love. For a woman can abdicate his throne to be with this woman. Do you have that kind of love for the Lord to abdicate all we have to come forward to the Lord? That we say, like just David, I rejoice when somebody says, let us go to the house of the Lord. made our worship truly become a fragrance pleasing to God. Express from our heart, the longing heart, to come and worship the Lord. And be thankful of Jesus allowing us to come close to the Lord. May God bless each one of you. Let's all pray. We will read together the key verse before we pray. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. May our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because if not, you have not come and died for us, we could not come into the sanctuary to worship you. We give thanks during this time of pandemic, but here we have the privilege to come and worship. We still have come and worship in peace, and we are allowed to come into the sanctuary each Sunday. That's a privilege. That is something we receive of our Father as a blessing. And if our love for the Lord could not express that, David has said, if life is better than, your love is better than life, may you open our eyes, Lord, so that we can understand your word, so that we can come into the worship by a longing heart. May you come here each Sunday to be longing for your word, to see our presence of our God, to praise you, to feel your presence, to live up our heart, to live up our life, and all aspects of our life. May you bless that our worship to truly become a fragrance pleasing to God. To you, Lord. You will not tell us, you only use your lips to praise me, but your heart is far from me. But you will rejoice because you see us come with a longing heart to worship you. My soul thirsts for you and my body also thirsts for you. May you fill our heart, each of us, the life of Jesus. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this worship. When we go home to back to our own business, reminding us of your word to us, we thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.